there's a topic which emerges from the last few seif from of Reish Lamed Beis, which is, without exaggeration, one of the most important, but also, unfortunately, one of the most complex topics in all of Chosh and Mishpat, one of the most common. Basically, it's what in law we would call the question of reliance damages. The question of, if I make statements to you, I represent something to you, you then act on my, assuming that what I'm telling you is true, assuming I'm going to live up to my commitment, and then it turns out I wasn't telling the truth, or I don't go through with what I promised to do, and you thereby have losses. Common case in Acharonim is, I tell you, well, I'll sell you some schara, Gregor has a tshuva about this, the Beis Meir, I'll sell you some stuff, bring your truck, bring your boat to this and this place, and I'll bring my stuff. And one of us doesn't come through with the deal. Either the buyer hires his wagon, hires his transportation to pick up the stuff. I don't come through with it, so he just has to pay his rent of his boat without a no deal, or vice versa. I go through with the stuff, and then the buyer doesn't come. So I hired my wagon to bring it out here. Buyer doesn't come. Does he have a tvi on me for causing him the loss? I promised I would do something. I didn't, and because of that, the other party acted on my promise and suffers a loss. Am I chayav as a mazik for doing this, or any other reason? So the law calls this reliance damages. I relied on you, and I acted, and I didn't, and it didn't go through with it. So am I chayav? So again, this comes up in many different places in Chosh and Mishpat. There are tremendous stiras and problems, but one of the most important loci for this discussion is the pair of seifim that we just learned, Sif Chaf and Sif Chaf Aleph, and the end of Reish Lamed Beis. Sif Chaf, it talks about a case of a seller who sells seeds, and the seeds are expected to be able to grow, and they don't grow. So the halacha is the seller has to refund the cost of the seed to the buyer, but the Shulchan Aruch says, black and white, no dispute, he does not have to refund any costs that the
expenses.
Right, does not have to refund the cost of any
planting.
Right, the cost of the planting. I thought it said a mafurish in the Shulchan Aruch, it may not. That is the halacha, though, all the poskim say, he does not have to refund the cost that's a sugyan by the basra. Not have to refund the cost of the labor, the expenses that the buyer had. In Sifchaf Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch, that's a Gemara. In Sifchaf Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch brings another din. This is a Ramah, Rameir Halevi Abu Lafia. In the case where the buyer spent money to transport his purchase somewhere and then was found to be defective. So there the Shulchan Aruch says that if the seller knew, if he knew that what he was selling was bad and he sold it in bad faith, then he has to pay, he has to refund to the buyer not just the cost of the item, but he has to refund the cost of the transportation that the buyer had shipping it out.
Just to clarify, in the Sif Chaf, talking about whether actual expenses or just labor that he spent like, you know, a day planting it.
That's a good question. I thought
that was the chilek between Chaf and Chaf Aleph, was that Chaf there was no expenses of just, you know, time and effort, as opposed to Chaf Aleph was
actual financial outlay.
That's what I thought, yeah. I mean, I could be totally wrong, that's what I was assuming.
Right. The language of the Sma was Mashat Tarach Bahotzi Bizriyas and Ain Tarach Hamar Chalitan Lokat. Tarach
Lahotzi.
Right. Okay. The poskim generally assume, we can debate the language of the early poskim, the later poskim generally assume it includes even financial outsells. Yeah. So what exactly is the difference? And you know, where does Sifchaf Aleph come from? What exactly is the difference? So in order to understand this a little better, we have to discuss a famous machlokas, Rambam and Ravid. It occurs in Ibn Ezra, actually, in the laws of Kedushin and engagements. The Rambam brings it in. This is not a Gemara. The Rambam made this up. He says, I think Yir Ali, or this is the Minhag, he says. The Rambam comes up with his own din. He says, if the Chassan Kala get engaged, and the Chassan makes a kind of vart, a party where he would have certain expenses, the party itself, he would give away other money, and then, subsequent to the vart, the Kala breaks the engagement. So the Rambam paskins that she is chayev to him the cost of the vart. That he can say, I never would have spent this money had I known that we weren't getting married. Kala's chayiv for the cost of the vart. Ravid disagrees. Ravid says, no such thing, it's only a grama, you're not chayav for costs. And his raya is, this din, sifchaf, he says, in Zerona Gina, if the seller has to refund the seeds, he doesn't have to refund the cost the buyer had. So too, the kalav doesn't have to refund the cost that the chassan had. The rabbi disagrees with the rabbi. Shulchan Aruch passings like the rabbi, not the rabbi. Rabbi is not even brought. So, in most poskim except the Rambam, there are some who say that we should be chosen the Rabbi is a sfeika d'dina, but most poskim seem to assume the Shulchan Aruch, passing like the Rambam, that's the halacha. So the question, Rishonim already asked, the Rabbi asked, the Magen Mishnah deals with, the Achronim will deal with, how do we understand the Rambam Shita, why is the Rambam's case different from our case of the seeds? Why in our case of the seeds are you not chayav to pay for his costs, and in the case of the engagement, you are? So there are four or five terutzim in the Rishonim and Achronim, and they all have tremendous implications, l'halacha. The most obvious teretz, perhaps, and so obvious that it's a question why the Rav and Magen Mishnah didn't say this, is, we discussed earlier, here we have Sivchaf and Chavalef. In Chaf we say that you're not chayef for the cost, or the tercha of the cost, and in Chavalef we say that the transportation cost you are chayef for. What's the difference? So in Chavalef, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Amokher Yodeh Mokaro. The Mokher knew that he was adding, he acted in bad faith. Many poskim learn. That is the chiluk between Chaf and Chaval. In Chaf, the seller himself did not know the seeds were bad. That's why he simply has to refund the money. That's always the halacha mechakhtos. You have to refund the sale even if you acted in good faith. You don't know you're selling something bad. So refunding the purchase price itself, you always have to refund. But refunding his costs, that depends whether you acted in bad faith or good faith. The reasons for that could be have to do with the rules of Grama and Garmi, the Sfaris there. Maybe other reasons why it would be different, but basic chiluk is an intuitive one, at the very least, that you're more responsible if you acted in bad faith. This is the opinion of many achronim. That's the difference between chaf and chavalef. This is the opinion of the Bir Hagra, Sifkan Laman Hay. This idea is mentioned by the Drisha, Levush, that anytime you act in bad faith, you chayav for the cost, otherwise not. If you learn like that, some achronim suggest that is pshat of the Rambam too. In the Rambam's case, where the woman broke off the engagement, she knew exactly what she was doing. She made a conscious decision to break off the engagement. Now, some argue that if a woman breaks off the engagement, at least in some cases, because she says ma'as alai, she can't go through with it, it's just impossible for her, we should understand that, and also treat her like it's not her fault. But, you know, halacha generally considers an act of volition like that to be the person's fault, in spite of the fact that we might console her, that we understand her reasons, but halacha generally does consider that a conscious decision that you make, and therefore, some poskim argue that's the simplest way to be mechalek, that it all depends on whether you act knowing what you're doing deliberately or b'shogeg. In that case also is a case of you're acting deliberately and that's why you're chayev. Ad k'dei kach, Rabbi Yitzchak Chaim Spector in the Ein Yitzchak says that obviously those who ask the kasha, like the Ravid or the Magen Mishnah, obviously they must have assumed this is such an obvious chiluk that in order for them to ask the kasha, they must have assumed that in this case you're chayev, in this case you're potter in the seeds, even if you knew. Because if they were mechalik in the seeds, they would never have asked the question over there because this teretz is so obvious. The only way they could ask the question is if they assume that you're potter, even if you knew what you're doing. How do you explain Sif Chafalef? He has a different approach to Sif Chafalef. We may or may not get to that. That's one idea. That the key chiluk is whether you know what you're doing and do it deliberately or you don't know what you're doing. Another chiluk the post can make, some of the early achronim is, that this gets into the rules of Grama and Garmi. They say one of the key factors in determining whether something is really Garmi, with actionable Grama that you chaya for or not, is whether the hezek happens miyad, immediately, as an immediate consequence of what you did. So the achronim want to argue, in a case where the seller sells the seeds. So at the time he does the bad thing, whether it's bad faith, good faith, he knew, he didn't know, but whatever it is, the maisa hezek, what did he do? What are we holding him responsible for? For selling bad seeds, and implying that they were good seeds. At that time there was no hezek yet. The hezek doesn't happen maybe till a week later, where the guy plants the seeds, invests the time and money, and they don't grow. That's not miyad. At the later time, the seller doesn't know what's going on. He's not doing anything at that point. He doesn't even know what's happening later. So some posts can want to argue, in the case of the seeds, you're not chayev and sivchaf, because the hezek is not immediate. It's not a direct consequence of what you did. Masha Ein Kein, in the case of the engagement, she broke off the engagement after the party already happened. So instantly, the second, it's actually retroactive, the second she breaks off the engagement, the hezek is there, right there. Nothing, you don't have to wait, nothing has to happen later. That's called the hezek is immediate, as an immediate and direct consequence, and that's why you're chayev over there.
Nevach, I know a few cases where a few days or weeks after a wedding, later there was, you know, a decision to make a divorce, which is a lot more money than making a divorce.
So Rabbi Yisrael Chanan's tshuva actually is about a case like that. Rabbi Yisrael Chanan has a very long tshuva where he goes through much of the sugya in detail. His case was in between. His case was the couple got married, not just an engagement, had a whole wedding, but the problem in the wedding was that she had not revealed something to him, something crucial that was grounds for, you know, being ochre the kedushin. I think that she had been mezana or something beforehand. So Rabbi Yisrael Chanan seems to take for granted throughout the tshuva that if it's an actual wedding and the wedding is not batel mafreya, it just may be grounds for divorce, but it doesn't uproot the wedding. Since the wedding was valid, they were actually married, he seems to assume that the party was not in vain. They were married for a few days, for a week, and then, now he's divorcing him. Engagement, apparently, you don't say that, well, you were engaged for a week and now the party was worth it. You say if you're not getting married, then the party is nothing. And wedding, I'm not sure if he ever explains why he takes this for granted, or he, I didn't have a chance to read the entire tshuva, or he just assumes this, but he assumes that if the wedding was valid, even if it only lasted a short time, he seems to have no... And that's why at the end of his tshuva, his bottom line seems to be, since there are some shitas that even based on that failure to disclose, the wedding would not be batel mafreya.